Hello again. Now, the pace of the current version of the twin plague circulating around the island continues to be quite hot. Classic flu and winter vomiting disease, just as meteorological winter officially arrives at the beginning of December. GP surgeries are seeing mainly flu-like illnesses, whilst meds tend to feel both varieties, as the usual method of information exchange is of course via a phone call initially. Thankfully, the huge majority of cases are straightforward. Some reassure to simply know it's going about, others knowing, well, this as their child's class is looking a bit lean as pupils and teachers alike fall foul. Many younger children are worrying mums and dads, as when taking little fluid, virtually no food, they simply flag badly, passing urine maybe just once a day. Hence the dehydration word crops up. In reality, this is a very temporary state. Younger children tending to, yes, refuse drinks, initially as they are constantly being sick. Who would wish to glug drinks since they merely come straight back up within minutes or occasionally seconds? But always by the occasional bout of viral vomiting illness, in due course, the gaps between bouts of vomiting start to elongate, and by doing so, it allows drinks into the mixture, sipping their way back into the system. With occasionally a child will dehydrate following such illnesses, and it's important to spot these cases quickly. It's not normally too difficult. Little or no fluids being taken, little or very concentrated urine being passed, maybe less than once a day. The skin puckering, especially around the belly wall. The eyes a bit sunken. The energy levels nil. Drinking causing further vomiting. Now, these cases sometimes are only resolved by inserting a drip and IV fluid infusion, taking away the need to take stuff in by mouth. Very unusual nowadays, but as a rule, it's the vomiting that is likely to lead to actual dehydration, not so much the diarrhea, unless it's something really unusual like cholera. Hear the poo. Droppings, feces, number twos may be described famously as rice water stools, in other words, just water coming out, pale water at that. Can't remember the last time I saw cholera on the Isle of Man. Haha, never. Fluids to give those affected with flu illnesses and or DMV initially should be the clear, simple varieties. Do not routinely dish out sugar-laden stuff like Lucozade or, well, flat Coke, please. These are typically absolutely loaded with sugar, the last thing your body actually needs. Boost your blood sugar too rapidly and artificially and perversely, your system requires to dump some of this via urine output, thus worsening potentially your hydration state. That's nuts. Water's fine, very weak cordial or very diluted milk is fine if your child or whoever will not just take water. All the rehydration fluids simply reflect in the construction of your body's own serum. Basically water covered with a teeny bit of salt and a teeny bit of sugar. Short term, over several hours or so, plain simple water is perfect. Elsewhere this week on the Isle of Man, we've had mention in the news of a report just published from the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists entitled Better for Women. Simply put, it advocates more accessible, more convenient services in those areas of women's health, where in many parts of the UK, significant numbers of women simply do not have easy access to such things. It was suggested that something like a one-stop women's health clinic become accessible during the evenings and maybe at the weekends. That would be a way forward. Not just focusing on, say, immediate health issues such as emergency contraception or STIs, sexually transmitted infections, but on contraception, women's health, generally even menopause-related problems. Money off to pill is now well established, of course, but still the unwanted pregnancy rate in the UK remains too high, and it's climbing, with over 200,000 terminations in England and Wales in 2018, a 4% increase from the year before. That's clear evidence that it's just not working. Three methods are presently licensed, of course, as a morning after contraception. Two types of pill and a copper-containing coil. In fact, the most effective, but obviously also the most intrusive method. The most commonly prescribed after pill being Levonel. needing to be taken up to 72 hours after the Unprotected Act. Taken within 24 hours of the event, it'll prevent 95% of expected pregnancies. 25 to 48 hours, 85%. Taken at 49 to 72 hours, 58%. That's not very good. Whilst Ella 1, another pill taken once, is licensed up to 5 days. It's effective, but not as effective as 11L. Out of 100 women taking Ella 1, within that 5-day interval, 2 will become pregnant. For the coil, it's less than 1%. The choices are there. We just need to make them available easily and without barriers. Of course, you can purchase your certain caveats in age, etc., the morning after pill from pharmacies, but typically the Lavanel will cost about £26, the Ella 1 about £33, but the pharmacy isn't open 24/7. Well, why should it be? Meds supplies these things too, it's a regular query, as do the GP surgeries, as do the family planning clinics. For some, though, it's still not enough. It's just not enough. Like the school report might state, could do better. On that note, until next week, cheerio.